Seculo, a Biden administration official caught lying under oath to Congress about the disinformation board. Oh, there's a lot more to talk about the disinformation board, and we're going to get into it today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
A whistleblower has come forward to Senator Hawley and Senator Grassley. You'll see this right here with about 40 pages of documents from the Department of Homeland Security. They were unclassified documents, pre-decision and deliberative documents. The release was authorized by Senator Grassley and Senator Hawley. This is from the, as you see, the Department of Homeland Security, if you're watching, and we put it up on the screen. And I just want to start walking through the timeline for you. So this new whistleblower documents were just released last night. So if you thought the disinformation board was kind of stalled for right now, we're learning a lot more about all the work they were doing before they announced it publicly, which is in conflict also with the testimony and comments and media appearances by Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. First of all, the big takeaway, just to let you all know this, the big picture, this was all about targeting Americans. Had nothing to do with drug cartels or Russian cyber attacks. And we said Nina Jankowicz wouldn't be the person you would pick to lead to fight back against Russian cyber attacks and drug cartels. She just, her profile didn't match that. So what her profile matched was American disinformation, targeting U.S. And Americans, and of course, infringing on your free speech rights. So we have that directly again. I want to play Senator Hawley talking about this because I want to get into the timing first. We're going to walk you through step by step. Share this with your friends and family. I think on a day where the January 6th hearings are about to begin their public part of their hearings, this is very important to remember the other party, how they conduct themselves, the Democrat Party, Byte 21.
I'm sure there are documents pertaining to this board, minutes of meetings, communications about who would serve on the board. Will you release those to this committee?
Senator, there are not yet this governance board.
Wait a minute. There are no minutes of meetings about this board?
It is not yet.
You've not created any records?
It has not yet begun its work.
Okay. DHS began drafting plans for the board on September 2021. And explored possibly partnering with big tech companies like Twitter. We'll get to Twitter a little bit later. But by February of 2022, Mayorkas had signed the charter for the board. So well before this testimony. That means at that point, the board was operational. In fact, they were planning meetings for April 28th with Twitter. So the fact that he was saying there was nothing before this is already not true because we have the documents now showing it goes back, Dad, to September of 2021, the beginnings of this.
Well, and we also have documents on April 28th of 2022 where there is a meeting between the Governance Oversight Board and Twitter, or at least a planned meeting for Twitter, where they said this meeting is an opportunity to discuss operationalizing public-private partnerships between DHS and Twitter, as well as inform Twitter executives about DHS work on MDMs, including the creation of the Disinformation Governance Board, its analytic exchange, and ongoing DVE. DVE stands for Domestic Violence Extremists, which, of course, they labeled as parents at school board meetings. So when they said it had nothing to do with domestic issues, that was also false.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to get into all of this with you. I'm going to take your phone calls on this as well. Again, the U.S. government attempting to go after Americans because of your views. Views like origins of COVID, which they've gone back and forth on so many times. Remember, it was considered disinformation. They wouldn't let you share that it was the Chinese that were responsible for this from the lab. Then that became the leading theory, the lab leak. Then they tried to go back on that again. So some of these things are just things you're allowed to discuss as Americans and you're allowed to have an opinion on. The efficacy of masks, that's in here. So do you think this had nothing to do with cartels, nothing to do with, again, Russian spy attacks and you know, attacks on our infrastructure. This was about you, the American people, conservatives, just having a voice. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
And we've got some breaking news about what we're doing on this when we come back from the break, so share this with your friends.
want you to share this with your friends and family. And think about this in the context of today, too, because they're going to start these January 6th public hearings, which are pick and choose hearings, typical of this administration. Let me just say right now, they're going to show you deposition videos, except for they're not releasing the transcripts of the full depositions. So you're just seeing the
cut
and paste edited,
by the way.
So we'll
That's
get into that more tomorrow, and we'll get into it later in the broadcast, possibly today. But just to put you, because this is the people we are dealing with. This is who you are fighting back against with DHS. They also just have no problem going to Congress or the media and telling just complete lies. This is on CNN. Okay, so this is Mayorkas, not under oath, but on CNN, talking about the purpose of this disinformation board.
Yeah, and Dana Bash, who's a good reporter, presses him very hard on this. Listen.
Will American citizens be monitored?
No.
Guarantee
what,
that.
Well, so what we do, we in the Department of Homeland Security don't monitor American citizens.
You don't, but will this board change that?
No. The board does not have any operational authority or capability. What it will do is gather together best practices in addressing the threat of disinformation from foreign state adversaries, from the cartels, and disseminate those best practices to the operators that have been executing in addressing this threat for years.
Okay. They were going to Twitter to monitor you. I mean, it's here. We have the document now. So the fact that they're saying we don't have any operational control, they were going to put pressure on social media companies to do that work for them. How do they do that pressure? Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which gives them the liability protections. So if Twitter gets a phone call from DHS and says, do this, guess what Twitter does? Yep, we'll do it. One, politically, they were in line with this administration at the time. Things have been changing at Twitter, but they haven't changed yet. And we also assumed, by the way, so we filed our FOIA.
Dad. You sure did.
We filed, and to timeline-wise, I want to give people an update. So this goes out publicly April 27th. Now, we know it predates that now, but that's when we all found out about it. By April 29th, we had already filed our FOIA. In between the 27th and 29th is when they wanted to have their Twitter meeting. In our FOIA, we also talk about Facebook and other social media
and
companies
in the Twitter
as well.
Meeting, in the Twitter meeting, understand, they say this. This is important. It says, note, this is in the Twitter meeting. Can we put that up on the screen?
Yeah.
The Twitter meeting document. Note, Nick and Yoel, this is the people from Twitter, know DGB, that's the Disinformation Governance Review Board, Executive Director Nina Jankowicz. Though they knew her purpose, that Twitter becomes involved in the Disinformation Governance Board analytics. So they wanted to know the analytic structure, and they put in their domestic violent extremism, which sounds like it would be fine, except A, they said it won't be involving domestic action. And number two, the way the government defines domestic violence extremists is a parent going to school board meeting saying, I don't want this curriculum. And they've been tagged by the Department of Justice. So the whole problem with all this is they didn't tell the truth.
When you start that way, it makes it very easy for all of us to say, I don't believe a thing you say about this. Then you get the actual documents, and it proves us right.
Yes.
Every bad thing you could
have. Now, of course, they haven't responded to the, they have not, and we'll announce that in the next segment. We are working on a lawsuit, may even be get it today. But they did not respond at all to our FOIA request.
No.
Than Bennett's up there in Washington.
I will say, Than, one thing they did do, by the time our FOIA requested, did not take long for them to fire or, you know, let her resign, Nina Jankowicz, and put this on pause, is what they said. So they haven't said they're going to disobey it, but then they did. Our FOIA goes in, and this disinformation board started to unravel in its current, at its former state. I'm sure they want to bring it back. We've heard that from the White House press secretary, but those individuals are gone. And I think our FOIA had a big part to play in that, because we weren't just going to let them get away with letting her just go.
No question about it, Jordan. I actually think this is exhibit A of why we pursue the strategy we do on our FOIA practice. Look, not all of the answers come in response to our FOIA, but we start to shed light on the issue and we give other people that have different authorities, like, you know, Senator Grassley and Senator Hawley, sort of a roadmap on where to look. Now, they got this information through whistleblower information, but Jordan, we're going to get more information through the lawsuit that we're going to file. I'll tell you this, too. I think Secretary Mayorkas is in a world of trouble here. His May 4th testimony that says the work has not begun, Jordan. I mean, this document, you talked about it, but I've got it right here in my hands, signed February 24th, 2022 by Secretary Mayorkas. The very last section of this, Section 8, Jordan, it's the effective date. It says this charter will go into effect when signed by the Secretary of Homeland Security. So this board formally, not just informally, they formally began their work on February 24th, 2022, and then he went to the Congress on May 4th and said their work hasn't begun. That's a big problem for the Secretary, Jordan.
So that whole idea that they had a bad rollout and they didn't really have their time to get their act together is not true. They had months. Dad. I mean, they had months to put this together. They thought they were going to be able to announce this through a Democrat senator's question, which is right. How they got up. But they did. They had months to prepare, and yet still, this is because the American people love free speech. And I think, and it was a bipartisan response
in a tremendous way. But what I think you've got to focus in on here is the fact that Mayorkas, who is the head of DHS, knowingly, I mean, how does he not know? Says there's no documents. Number one. Number two, there's nothing about anything domestic. Both of those are false. And he's doing this under oath. And this is the head of your Department of Homeland Security. How does that make you feel? That's the problem of what is happening here and what is developing. And I think this is where the reason the American Center for Law and Justice sent out that FOIA was to get the information. Now, Josh Hawley and Senator Grassley have both been very active in this today, starting last night. About getting this information out from this whistleblower. This is a significant development, and it will be a significant development in our case because we're going to find out, as we do in these cases, exactly what happened.
Hugely significant, Jay. It makes the information that we're pursuing even more important. Look, there's going to be follow-up work in the United States Senate, and I think most of it, Jay, I think most of it is going to be focused on the conversation you just had with Jay, the domestic surveillance that was a part of this. I mean, it's all over the charter document that the Secretary signed. You and Jordan have talked about the DVEs, the domestic violent extremists, but also, you know, COVID information and election integrity. Jay, those aren't issues of misinformation and disinformation. Those are issues that the American people better be involved in. They better have an opinion on, and they better stay tuned in on. This board, Jay, its very purpose, according to its charter signed by the Secretary, was try to push the American people out of those debates. That just can't happen in the United States of America.
You know, I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, because, you know, you could say one thing, this administration, I mean, I think it's true, they are not really competent when it comes to a lot of different things, but they are trying to do very bad things. So they wanted to target, you know, and go after the parents in the school board meetings. They get caught halfway.
Yeah.
They start targeting them, but they get caught halfway before they take any action. Then on, like, this disinformation board, they had a couple months to prepare its rollout, and they still messed that up. But they wanted to do something bad. They wanted to pressure social media companies to spy on Americans and to eliminate your ability to speak freely on ridiculous things like the efficacy of masks, which is something doctors have been talking about on TV.
Right.
Where do you need them? Where do you not? Remember, this administration is still fighting to make you put it on in an airplane, even though the airlines were saying, well, we actually have the best air. And, you know, this is unnecessary at this point. So why is that now you couldn't share that story?
Yes, you could not.
That's
share
what they would
story.
Have tried to do is made sure that at least that wasn't they either you don't have any reach.
No, that would be disinformation.
Or yeah, you get tagged.
Yeah, you get tagged. We know what that's like. They tag you as disinformation, false story, or they don't put it up at all. In other words, they not shadow ban it. They ban it. And this is the outrage of this. And this is your American government doing this. Now we have an announcement to make in about 4 minutes about what we're doing on this. That's going to be pretty big. So we want you to share this feed. If you're on social media, I know our phone lines are jamming up. Share this feed with your friends if you're on Rumble, which is our preferred provider on this, YouTube and Facebook. Share it with your friends right now because we're about to tell you how we're taking this up a notch because the American people have been lied to here. Let's call this what it is. The American people have been told a false narrative. And the false narrative is that they were the government's lead guy. The Department of Homeland Security made what it clear to be false statements or incorrect statements, however you want to phrase it, to a congressional committee while he was under oath. And we've got the documents about meetings right here. This is just the beginning of uncovering what was going on. But remember yesterday we talked about the whole issue of these disinformation boards in these international tribunals as well, World Health Organization. So this is serious stuff. I also want to say that they apprehended and have charged with attempted murder the individual from California that was set on assassinating Brett Kavanaugh. Evidently picked him up in front of his house. That's how serious this is. When Chuck Schumer issued his own threat of disinformation. Do we have that bite? I want to play that just before we go in the break because I don't want to forget about what happened yesterday.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
If you make a decision that you think's right under the Constitution as a Supreme Court justice that has an oath, you will not know what hit you. What was about to hit him was an assassin. Has there been a peep from Chuck Schumer at this point? As of our prep meeting this morning, there wasn't. Nothing. The clerk or whoever leaked this, very dangerous move.
Welcome back to Secchio. So we said we're taking action on this. We're not letting this go. Remember, and the Biden administration, I want to remind you, they aren't letting this go yet either. Now, this could change things significantly because of this whistleblower. But remember, even after the disastrous rollout, even after Nina Jankowicz has to resign from the federal government, and, you know, it makes more sense now she had her official photo done and all of that, that they were already working and right. They were already setting up meetings with Twitter to start the spying on Americans and to... trying to intimidate Americans and really just an attack on free speech, especially utilizing Department of Homeland Security. Because take a listen, this was Byte 16, this is White House Press Secretary Peter Ducey talking about it even after the disaster and the resignations.
So if it's pausing because you think the board was mischaracterized, then the disinformation board is being shut down because of disinformation? Is that what's happening here?
Look, I mean, the board was put forth for a purpose, right? To make sure that we really did really did address what was happening across the country when it came to disinformation.
And it's okay to wait now, 75 days.
It's going to pause. There's been a mischaracterization from outside forces. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to pause it. And we're going to do an assessment. But the work doesn't stop. We're still going to continue the work. The DHS is still going to continue the work.
Okay. And they're still going to do the work. We were engaged in disinformation by pointing this out, misinformation. That's what they're saying. But let me tell you what we've just done. I'll put it up on the screen for those that are watching. We have filed in the last few minutes in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of Homeland Security. It is a federal lawsuit seeking information, including records of any communication or information exchanged between DHS and all appointees of the GS-14 level or higher, that's the second highest level, and any non-governmental person, that would be Twitter, Facebook, whatever social media platforms are doing, regarding the disinformation governance board revealed by Secretary Mayorkas on April 27th. We filed our Freedom of Information Act request on April 29th. They did not respond. We asked for the letter is a request in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. That is what it is. They did not respond. Nothing. So we filed a federal lawsuit. Now, if you look at what they've done here, Cece Howell's joining us, one of our senior counsel, and I've got a question for Than too. But Cece, if you look at what they've done here, they are covering up their whole origins of this entire matter.
Absolutely. And the fact that they did not respond to our FOIA request,
nothing.
But then Senator Holly and Grassley get this from a leaker.
Whistleblower.
We know that these documents exist, but they have not turned over anything to us.
So, Than, they didn't even respond. They didn't say, hey, give us 30 more days. We're looking. Nothing. They ignored it as if we're going away. Well, guess what? The American Center for Law and Justice is not going away.
Well, a couple of these things are clearly responsive to what we are asking for as well. I mean, number one, the memo about the April 28th meeting with big tech executives. Jay, that's exactly what we were looking for. We wanted to know if the law enforcement agency, the Department of Homeland Security, was not just pursuing disinformation. We wanted to know if they were using big tech to accomplish that. And Jay, clearly the answer to that is yes. Also, another document fully responsive to our now lawsuit, Jay, would be this fully executed charter that has has the signature of the secretary on it. Look, they say they've just taken a pause. I believe that, Jay, because they still have this fully executed charter. They're just going to hire another executive director and try to move forward. Exactly. We're not going to let that happen.
We are not. And I think Congress is not. We'll work with Congress. The members that are not, and we are going to fight back on this. We got a lot of calls coming in.
We have a call on just that, actually. Mary Ellen from Illinois on line one. Hey, Mary Ellen, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. And doing a good job, guys, really. I saw somewhere, and I don't remember the man's name, that somebody else is now filling the shoes of Nina Jankowicz. And it's like, how do we keep how can we find out what they're really doing?
Well, the only way to do it, Mary Ellen, and this is for our entire audience, is to seek government transparency. And we have a government accountability project inside the American Center for Law and Justice. And when we see these things happen, we take immediate action. And here, we heard about this on the 27th, and on the 29th, our FOIA letter went out, and now on June 9th, we filed a federal lawsuit.
Right. And it's interesting that they say, you know, we shut this down temporarily because of mischaracterization. But these documents come out and it looks like we knew exactly what this was. It was not a mischaracterization. We hit the nail on the head. They were going after the free speech of American citizens. And these kind of actions just keep eroding the trust of American citizens in our government.
When you think about this, folks, I just want you to kind of put it in perspective, too. Because you're going to hear hearings tonight. I would keep going back to this tie that are cut and pasted, edited carefully. There's only two people right now, unless they have some surprises. There's only two people scheduled to testify, neither of which you've ever heard of. Okay, so two people that you've never heard of. One is a law enforcement official. One is a former administration official. Names I could say. I don't even need to say because you're not going to know the names. Second, though, you're going to see videos of depositions. But they're not releasing the transcripts of the full deposition.
Think about that for a minute.
They're only going to show clips. Remember, this is the Schiff show. Now, they're not going to use Adam Schiff as much tonight, but he is on the committee. So is Jamie Raskin. These are the impeachment guys, Zoe Lofgren, all those people. And it's going to be edited carefully to show you, probably out of context. Assume it is with them. You know, they don't get the benefit of doubt. Assume everything they do is out of context, because when you catch them on the disinformation board, and when you catch them on going after parents as terrorists because of school board meetings, assume the worst. Make them have to prove that they're not the worst people and they're not liars, because you know it's they have too much of a pattern. So tonight, when you see and you go, "Oh, I can't believe that person said that," just remember, we're never going to get, or at this point, maybe later on, but that day, we're not going to get the full transcript of what they said next.
Think about the fact.
I mean, you can make anything look horrible.
Think about the fact that this committee, we'll say this clearly, that this committee will release excerpts from video depositions they took, but will not release the entire transcript of the deposition.
What are they hiding?
Well, in a court, you can't do that. But here's what they're doing. They're doing this to create another narrative. That's what they're trying to do.
Right. And they get to control that narrative because they only show you the parts that they want you to see. And Jordan's exactly correct. When you get to cut and paste, you can make someone say or look good or bad. Whatever narrative they want to create, they're going to be able to create it by cutting and pasting and not showing us the whole document or the whole deposition.
You know, Than, just to kind of get a sense too, what is the sense in Washington, D.C.? I know we're going to keep taking calls on the DHS matter, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But about tonight, because they're trying to make it this mega primetime event. I think it's already tough to get Americans to tune in on summer, but what is D.C.'s reaction? It looks like we have a Than that got frozen up there in Washington, D.C. That's all right.
You know what the reaction is.
Well, I think that you got double reaction. You got Democrats hoping and praying that people tune into this. I think that maybe people will at first if there's like a compelling,
they're saying it's
wild
hours
video.
Of video.
But boring video. Let me tell you about deposition video. Did you watch the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, see any of that? When they went to the deposition videos, it's grainy. It happened a lot during COVID, so it's like they weren't even in person. There's a lot of cuts because lawyers step in and say, don't answer that. They cut it. They take breaks. It's, you know, it's just boring to watch, whether you're interested in this or not. And when you know you're not getting the full context, you really don't trust Adam Schiff. I would tell most of you, I wouldn't waste your time with it. We'll watch it for you. We'll talk about it. I mean, if you're really interested and you might, you know, you of course watch whatever you want to watch. You have the choice. But no, you're getting a highly edited, again, version of events.
Always backfires
on them. That we'll never talk about the fact that they refused security for the Capitol, they being Speaker Pelosi.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So I want to walk, because it's a lot of information, folks, and we're providing you right now. So I don't want to overpass. I don't want you to not understand the full context of this. So we know that Mayorkas, as the title of the show was today, was lying to Congress and lying to the media. I mean, it's because about the Disinformation Governance Board. Because okay, so let's go back to September of 2021. That's when he signed the initial authorization to begin the board's formation. By February, he had already signed off on its charter. It was now in existence. So it started coming up with the idea in September. In February, they start putting it out, you know, they start putting it together. In April 27th, we learn about it. On April 28th, they try to meet with Twitter, and we have the document, because now there's a whistleblower provided at least 40 pages. That's what Senator Hawley and Senator Grassley have released. It's from the whistleblower at DHS, because we know there's a lot of good security officials there who think this is just absolutely wrong, targeting, going after Americans' free speech. Now, we filed our FOIA the day after they were supposed to meet with Twitter. We don't know if that meeting happened because it said TBC, to be confirmed. Might have happened, but there was a lot of outrage that day that he announced that, so yes. Probably not. A couple weeks later, Nina Jankowicz, who's announced on April 27th, puts that tweet out about how great it is she got this new job. She's resigning from government by May 18th. We filed a FOIA on the insider already by the April 29th, so just a day and a half after hearing this, and now we filed a federal lawsuit. We know from the information that they were going after Americans. I haven't gotten to this point yet. They were preparing legislation. How this was going to go through, except it was probably go through in like a one-liner.
Yeah.
To codify a quote, listen to this one, rumor control program of the Department of Homeland Security to counter misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. And they were going to have a public-facing website. So this was not going to be secret. Known as rumor control.
So first of all, you talk about big brother government control.
Did they get this?
Rumor control. Rumors are protected by the First Amendment.
Did George Orwell just write? Did they just pull this from some like transcript?
The fact that they're using this language tells you everything. Tells you everything rumor, about what they're trying to
so
do.
So Nazi-esque.
Yeah.
So Stalin-esque.
Yeah.
Rumor control.
And once again, they think they're going to get away with it. And they would if people don't take them to task and try and find out the truth, like Senator Hawley and Grassley did, and like we do at the ACLJ, asking for FOIA, Freedom of Information Act documents. They think they're going to get away with this craziness.
Let me tell you, these documents are going to, when we get them, it's not going to be pretty for them. Go ahead.
We've already got about 40 pages of documents already from Senator Grassley, Senator Hawley, because of a good whistleblower.
Yep.
They're protected inside DHS. Because, you know, the folks who are really worried about our security, like law enforcement security, people volunteer to do those jobs, they're trying to do the right thing. But they're in a mess of an administration, so much of a mess, they're willing to act as whistleblowers with this information. That's how bad it is. Instead of leaking it to the media,
right?
You know, this is the way you do it. You go to Congress. That's the way it's supposed to work. Let's go to Chris in California quickly. Hey, Chris.
Hey, real quick, guys. I've been following you guys for the last 6 years.
Great.
So I've really been intentional about getting involved in politics, or at least paying attention.
Yep.
And all your guys' help has really gotten me wiser. My quick question is, with all that I've been watching and seeing and hearing, yep. it seems like the government is lying to us, or at least, I know this is a big word, but it seems like it's somewhat tyrannical.
Yeah.
How do we...
A rumor control board would be tyrannical, but go ahead, finish up really quick.
I just wanted to know, like, how do we fight this, or how do we punish them?
Here,
like, how can
with
we
what
hold
we're
them
doing, so we expose the board already started falling apart. You make sure they're never really able to put it back again. You file the FOIA, then you make sure the executive director, she's resigned, she's probably also fired, told to resign. She never got in her job. They probably didn't get the meeting with Twitter, and they certainly never started to instruct Twitter what to do, and then you file a lawsuit. So you keep this pressure on this administration. Listen, this administration, they're not great at carrying out anything, so you can really fight back against them. First of all, whoever came up with rumor control also should be fired, because it's just moronic as a politician. I'm not trying to help Democrats win elections, but come on. Insanity. Rumor control and a public... Our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, Rick Grinnell, joining us now. And Rick, I want to go right to this. We're learning so much more about what the Biden administration was putting together with the Disinformation Governance Board. We now know that they were planning on this is back into 2021, fall of 2021. They had a whole rollout plan. They had meetings with Twitter scheduled. But also, I want to stick on this point, because they were actually going to put this public. So this is not like something with the whistleblower that they were like going to hide in the background. This was something they thought the public would respond positive to, which goes to that bigger question of just how inept this administration is. Because the DHS officials were preparing legislation to codify a quote. Now, this is interesting, too, because if you're codifying it, it means it exists.
Right.
Inside DHS.
It exists as a regulation inside DHS.
Yeah, because they can create it, but they want it to be forever existing. And it's called, Rick, a, quote, rumor. I'm using their language. Quote, rumor control program of DHS to counter the mis, dis, and malinformation. And they were going to put forward, Rick, a public-facing website, what, to report on people, I guess, called the rumor control website. This is in the United States of America, Rick.
Remember that disinformation is dissenting information. That's what they're trying to go after. Anybody who dissents away from what they think is the line. They tried to codify permanently a way to get big tech to do the Democrats' work in getting rid of dissenting information. This is just the facts. We are in a very dangerous situation. Good thing they got caught. Good thing that they're peddling it back. And thanks to ACLJ and others, we're going to stay on this and get to the bottom of it and really bring forward the truth of what their plans were to codify into law big tech going after conservatives and crushing dissenting information. This is what the ruling party does in third world countries.
But Rick, you were the acting director of national intelligence. Okay, the fact that Mayorkas would go to the Congress and deny that this had anything to do with domestic surveillance reminds me of the FISA warrant that was manipulated by the FBI and the Department of Justice against Carter Page, where they actually changed what the email said. So Mayorkas, he knows this is going to come out. So why in the world would they do it?
Because they get away with it in Washington. They get to do anything they want. The entire media sect is literally working for the ruling party. So they get away with it is the answer, Jay. It's outrageous. But, you know, look, Mayorkas, he's the one who's telling us that the border is closed. He's living like Baghdad Bob. He literally is saying one thing and reality is showing another.
I'm going to take a call because I think it ties into all this, what we've been talking about this week, this war on conservatives. Which we're going to see, you know, even in tonight. Warren in Idaho, though, online for a great question coming up. Warren, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys, and I appreciate you what you're doing. And I suggest everybody donate when they can. I do when I do. But good question that I had, and Rick could answer it. How does this tie in with what you were talking about with the World Health Organization and what they're trying to pull with the disinformation? And is this administration working towards that end to skirt what you're doing?
Well, that's part of their proposals too, Rick. This is the new big talking point, not just in the United States, but in the global leftist movement, is disinformation boards. So the Biden administration proposed for the WHO to create their own disinformation panel. And we know from the documents now released, some of the disinformation, it wasn't even about, so it was all, one was about the origins of COVID and how that went back and forth. So they wanted to shut you up if you weren't walking the party line that day, which of course changed. I think we dropped Rick for a second, but it's feed. But so they would shut you up, you know, if you said it was from the lab. Now it's okay to say it's from the lab, Rick. But they were even going to say mask, efficacy of masks. So I do think it's all related to the WHO, China, this whole disinformation. And they were going to plan to make it public with a rumor control website.
What they're trying to do is utilize big, huge agencies, big forms of government, whether it's the UN, UN agencies, big tech, all of the Washington, D.C. government agencies. They literally are using everything to crush dissent. And that's what's scary, is that we have to be able to push back, because America was founded on the fact that we all get to have different opinions. You know, I remember the arguments 20 years ago of diversity and tolerance. And inherent in that idea was that we had differing views, but we could sit and listen. I remember my father telling me, sit and listen, you might learn from somebody. But now what we have is an entire party going after, utilizing every single tool they can to crush dissent. You must give the Democrat line. You must agree with the ruling party. This is what happens in third world countries.
Because that's what I was going to say, Rick. We have, and you ran them and oversaw them, all the intelligence agencies. If people have information of real security, you know, that they need to share, feel like they need to share with law enforcement, it's intelligence. There's so many places to do that in the United States. We have those agencies set up. This is the idea, I think, behind this. The ultimate goal was, one, they were going to pressure the social media, the content platforms, because they've got that Section 230 to hang over them. But two was, they wanted Americans to start spying on Americans, not for actual security issues, not like see something, say something, but oh, you don't like their opinion, so report it to DHS.
Look, if I can make a big jump here, this is one of the reasons why I'm very nervous about red flag laws. I had a Democrat activist on Twitter the last 2 days literally start saying to me, where were you on January 6th? Are you a part of this? Were you inciting violence? And you know, the reality is I didn't even want to answer him. I was in California. This whole line of questioning is ridiculous. But I can see how they will immediately take a little piece of anything you said or did, or where were you on January 6th, and somehow you get reported to big tech or the government, and what happens next? Suddenly you're on a list to not be able to get a gun because you're mentally unstable. Suddenly your credit card is going to be declined because your bank says that you're somehow fomenting something against the government. This is a real problem. And where is the ACLU? Where are the people that defend the First Amendment? This is so ridiculous. It's scary. And I'll finish with this. First and second generation Americans that are listening to us, they are with us because they've seen fascism and totalitarianism. They are the canaries in the coal mine saying what's happening in Washington is scary. It's what happened in their countries, in third world countries. They don't like it. And they are voting Republican and conservative because they see what's happening with this groupthink crushing dissent in Washington, D.C.
No, there's nothing worse than coming out. I mean, the fact that they were actually planning, and to me, they didn't even want to keep it secret. I'm glad we know about it. But the fact that they thought that a rumor control board, but it's up to us. The ACLU is not going to do it anymore. They become totally political. They choose the speech they do and don't like. I always say, when we win cases in court, we might be representing someone conservative, but that's not how the court issues the ruling. When it's a speech case, it's for everybody. So, I mean, I think that's important, that we're the ones fighting back here, because this idea, we've seen government abuse over and over again. We've seen the IRS try to target conservatives. We've seen that going after the parents, the school board meeting with DOJ and FBI as well. This was another law enforcement agency trying to get through Congress. And I mean, this actually raises my question now. And certainly, Rick, we're going to track it down. But they wanted to codify the rumor control program. But that, by saying that, to me, it means that exists inside DHS right now. There's some kind of rumor control program going on. They haven't been able to release publicly yet. and they may not because of all this attention right now. But we do know from the White House, Rick, that they ultimately want this disinformation board up and running. They haven't backed away from that.
Well, thank God that we raised the issue in a loud way. And I want to say something that Warren, our previous caller, said, which is he gives and he supports ACLJ. I'm a pretty positive person, Jordan, and I don't want to leave people with a negative implication about the future of our country. We have a lot of patriots who are fighting back. And if you want to do something, you can join ACLJ. You can join our fight. You can help us keep pushing. We're not stopping. We just have limited funds and limited means to take on all of the fights that we see before us. So I would just encourage people, don't give up hope, get involved, help us. And we together will keep raising our voices when we see a problem. And look, we have a small glimmer of success in raising our voices about this particular situation, and they've backed down. Thank God we raised the issue, and we got to keep doing it. We got to have people on watch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I mean, that's why we filed the lawsuit today.
Exactly.
That's why I think Senator Hawley and Grassley released this information. Is you have to keep your foot to the pedal on this. You can't just say, oh, it looks like we got him to back off for now, because that's all it would be is for now.
Well, this is why we immediately filed the Freedom of Information Act request, and as soon as they didn't respond, we filed a federal lawsuit. And we got on this immediately and pushed back. Thank you, Rick. Folks, that's why your support of the American Center for Law and Justice is so critical. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Have your voice heard. Look, we're not taking this stuff. We're going to fight back and push back. And you see, we are doing that. We'll get answers. Listen, there's documents coming. You can see it now. So this whole misinformation, disinformation was a way to try to silence all of us. We're not taking it. That's why we're in federal court.
That we've got up, that people have been holding on to talk about the DHS. We're on this, folks. We filed the lawsuit. We're going to take your calls right now. 1-800-684-3110. Rana in California first. Rena, sorry about that. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Well, it's actually Rena.
Well, there we go.
There you go. Thank you so much for everything you guys do, just really from the bottom of our hearts. So, look, we've had a coup d'etat in this country. These people, this administration has come in illegally. They're not going to stop their antics. Biden has already done several things, okay, to call for his impeachment. Jay himself has said on the program, hey, maybe we really do need to start impeaching this guy.
No,
we need to
Jay, let's be clear, okay? I said the impeachment would not be a viable option because, number one, you would never get it through the House of Representatives. So when you've got a situation like the impeachment's not an option here. You can't do impeachment for bad policies. So I haven't said that that's impeachable. Then that's number one. Number two, you got to have control of the House, and then you got to figure out if you can get a conviction in the Senate. Neither one of which are going to happen. But where you are right is,
I think, but people feel like it's there's because of what they did to Trump. Right, it's like impeachable right. Offenses. Because if they set the bar so low, it's bad. Policies you don't like are now impeachable.
Yeah, but you
and I get what she's saying there, and I get how they're frustrated because a rumor control board makes you feel like they should be impeached.
Well, yes, I mean because that
that's
you a little
your
nervous.
Initial reactions. Throw them out, but then you want Vice President Harris.
Because that's what happens. So let's say something.
And then Pelosi.
Yeah. Let me say something clear here. Where we do agree with you, Rena, is that this rumor control board, the misinformation board, and we're just getting the beginning of the documents. Harry Hutchinson's actually just joined as a director of policy. You know, this is an attempt to squelch free speech rights of American citizens. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
And they're not hiding it.
Absolutely. And it's a two-stage attempt to squelch Americans' freedom of speech. First, with respect to the DHS and the Disinformation Board, which I refer to as the Ministry of Truth, and secondarily, the Biden administration has attempted to embrace and use international organizations, particularly the World Health Organization, so that they could implement some version of a Ministry of Truth, and then an international body would state what is affirmatively true. That is contrary to the Anglo-American tradition, which allows for free speech And that if you don't like what someone has said, then you have the opportunity to counter that with your own speech. And then the political process decides what is true. Increasingly, elites disbelieve in that approach. They believe they are the only individuals who are firmly equipped to decide what is true and what is false. And the American people ought to reject this outrightly, and we should push back as fiercely as possible.
Take the one more call, and then I want to move to the energy situation.
Frank in Connecticut on line two. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. It was just announced last week that Connecticut will pay a security analyst $150,000 a year to monitor election means for misinformation to hopefully squash any online rumors before it impacts the polls.
Here's what I get to. You know what's a crime in the U.S.? Lying about if you put out a phone call and you say, tell people to vote on this day and that's not the right day, that's a crime. People have done those kind of stunts before and we prosecute them. We take that seriously in the United States. You can't lie to people, try to mislead them about taking away their ability to vote. That's what we usually mean, right? When we talk about election keeping, you don't want bad actors to do that. Okay. You don't need somebody. But this is it's the new person of the day. You know how you see in corporate America, they put in new kind of positions that they create that you've never seen before. This is the new government thing.
Yeah.
It's the new leftist move. And by the way, it's global. WHO wants it. You're seeing it in your state level, Connecticut level. And that is specifically mentioned here is election integrity. They don't like the fact that we question mailing out ballots to people who didn't request them. That's, to them, dis and misinformation.
Yeah. We're on top of this, folks. We're going to stay on top of it. We filed a federal lawsuit today. Let's go. I want to move quickly to energy because we've got an issue here. Harry, people are paying. It's breathtaking at the gas pump.
Absolutely.
You followed this industry very carefully. What's the trajectory here?
Well, the trajectory is clearly up, and it's going up largely because President Biden's policy is succeeding. So Secretary of Treasury Yellen has said that President Biden has done everything he can on gasoline prices. While most Biden officials are committed to lying and dissimulation, Secretary Yellen is absolutely correct. President Biden has done everything he can to raise gasoline prices and sock it to American citizens. Who can forget that Biden canceled the Keystone Pipeline on day one of his presidency? Who can forget Biden's plaintive plea to the Middle East oil producers to produce more oil while Biden halted oil production on Alaska's North Slope? Alaska's oil slope sits on an estimated 4.3 to 11.8 billion barrels of untouched recoverable oil. President Trump opened the Alaska area and Biden shut it down. President Biden has increased royalties, the royalty tax rate on oil, by up to 50% a barrel. That's a deliberate effort to raise prices. So at the end of the day, oil prices in the United States have more than doubled since Biden took office. And this means two things. First, Americans are being slammed by energy prices and the knock-on effects that come from higher energy prices, which affect food and inflation. Secondly, President Biden remains arguably complicit in Putin's war in the Ukraine. Now the Russian ruble is reaching new heights as Putin capitalizes on Biden's missteps.
Is that because of the oil prices going up, Harry?
It's because of the oil prices initially, but then Putin is also capitalizing on access to fertilizer and access to food. But at the end of the day, the foundation of Putin's war in the Ukraine is petroleum and natural gas.
We only got a minute left, but people want to know where it's going. Do you think that there is any way with OPEC increasing
production, will we see a drop in prices in the short term or probably not?
I don't think we will see a drop in oil prices in the short term. In fact, there is every possibility that oil prices may reach at least $10 per gallon in California within the next 30 to 60 days.
I mean, folks, this is, it's breathtaking. We are monitoring it. We're talking to Congress about it. The president shut down production here. And that's what you get. Bad policy. Elections have consequences. Those consequences are policies. Bad policies cost the American people money. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. This has been a lot of information, folks. We are just filed this lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security. We're fighting back for you. Join the ACLJ. Support us. Go online, aclj.org. Folks, you can be part of this team. aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And also, aclj action.org. Encourage you to go there as well.
That's right. ACLJ Action. We're about to launch again on, especially on the Dobbs case. We're watching all this information coming out. So we need your support. aclj action.org. Become a member, $25.